So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Dan and welcome to the podcast today. Hope you're well. I woke up this morning, let the dogs out about 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And it was like, I went outside and it's like someone just switched the colour off. It was just grey. Everything was grey, except I was wearing a yellow hoodie and I was probably the only thing in full colour. It was like I'd gone back to 1950s. Anyway, welcome. We got this Saharan sand. Flying over, we had our cars yesterday. We're all yellow. We're living in the south of Spain, so we get it first. You guys are going to get it next. That's nice. But look, let's talk about financial freedom. Let's talk about the four things that you're going to need in order to secure financial freedom. But just before we talk about financial freedom, I want to talk about what financial freedom actually means. So it means a couple of things for me, as far as I'm concerned. And tied into financial freedom, one of the very first things that it means is time freedom. So like we run a digital marketing agency, as no doubt you're aware, but that's actually a choice. I've done it where I've done nothing. And honestly, it's boring. It's like, you know, the first time I retired, we had more assets and more income coming in than expenses going out. I was just bored. And a friend of mine said, oh, if it was just me, I'd be playing golf all day. And I'm like, yeah, but who with? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. All your mates are at work. And the only people you get to play golf with, 65-year-old men talking about the prostate. And it's like, that's not for me, that, needless to say. That will age you before your time. So time freedom. And time freedom also, and I need to put a caveat around that, because time freedom for me is actually I get to spend my time doing what I want. Now, actually, sometimes I want to work. Sometimes you need that. I might go to a networking event. If I go to the UK and people are like, well, why are you going to a networking event when you've flown over to the UK to see family? Because just seeing family all the time gets boring as well. You've got to mix it up. And so having time freedom is really important, but financial freedom is also important. But I reckon time freedom is more important. But the two are entwined. And so I don't think you should have one without the other. You can't be financially free if you're tied to a job. Well, you're not financially free, are you? So time freedom and financial freedom are basically one and the same thing, which means you can get to choose what to spend your time on, who with, whereabouts, what to spend your money on. And that's the key. It's not actually for me about being a multi-millionaire and having £1 million sat in a bank. That would actually make me quite nervous because there's no cash flow. And that's why we invest in assets, as I'm sure you know. But for me, it's about having enough money coming in so that I don't have to worry about is there enough money coming in. And most of the time, I say most of the time, we've had some hiccups recently, but most of the time, by the first of the month, the money's already in the account. For the rest of the month, and then we're fine. Just recently, we've had this massive house refurb. We've got a couple of properties that are not being paid right now, where tenants haven't paid, and we're going through the court process and so on. And that will get us back on track effectively. But financial freedom is about you not having to be forced to go do something. It's a choice. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to work on your business. So, for example, if I chose in the next 7 days to actually take the next 7 days off my business, actually, would anything happen to the business in a negative way? No. All our clients are done. The only thing that would be affected is we wouldn't bring on more clients because I'm the guy that gets involved in that process. But actually, that process is very small anyway, and it'd take, you know, a couple of hours out of a week. Maximum, if I took on 5 new clients next week, for example, that process would take less than 5 hours for that week. And 5 clients is a decent amount of clients for us to take on because we have recurring residual income coming in from that. But don't get me wrong here, financial freedom and time freedom is about you having the choices to be able to go and do what you want. I remember speaking to my brother about investing in property and I said, but then you can leave your job. He said, but I love my job. And I'm like, yeah, you love your job today. But what if in 10 years, 20 years, you hate your job and you want to be financially free? You can't do that because the choices you made today haven't been made effectively. So you're not financially free 10, 20 years in from then. And so that's basically how it works. Anyway, let's crack on with number one. Now that we've just got that kind of dynamic sorted out. Monthly cash flow. One of the things you're going to need for financial freedom is monthly cash flow. Like I said, you don't need £1 million sat in a bank. And actually getting £1 million is really, really hard. So you don't need £1 million. What you actually need is, I don't know, 10 grand a month. And some people will go, oh my gosh, I couldn't live on 10 grand a month. I need 20. All right, 20, 50, 100, call it whatever you want. Call it £1 million if that's your thing. But the key here is that you've got your expenses here and you've got your cash flow here. This gap is what you can live on after all your expenses are paid. So all our expenses, which hand am I? This hand. This is our expense, back to front. This is our expenses. This is our income. At some point, our income was less than our expenses from an asset point of view. So money coming from assets was less, which means that over a period of time, as our rental went up, our cash flow stays the same. Our expenses stays the same every month, more or less, depends on interest rates. But our income is slowly increasing. Let me move this down a little bit. And then what happens is another 10 years it increases, and another 10 years, and another 10 years, and another 10 years. And this gap here between what you're earning and what your expenses are is getting bigger all the time. And this is why you actually use tomorrow's money to pay off today's debt. So 20 years ago, we made a decision not to pay off any buy-to-let mortgages, because the income that we got 20 years ago, 350 quid on a little two-bed back-to-back house at 37 grand, which is what we were buying at the time, that 350 quid will take, 100 months of taking all of that money and paying it off in full. Now, on the same properties, we're getting 650 a month. So we've actually cut that in half with using tomorrow's money effectively to pay off yesterday's debt. And so your expenses start then going down and your income starts going up. And again, this gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that's why we invest in assets over the long term. That's why we invest in assets that give cash flow. But the idea here is that you get out of work. Like, think about this. You go to work, you get up on the morning. You have a shower, you have your coffee, you have your breakfast, you get in the car. Let's say it's 45 minutes in the car to get to work, traffic's bad. Or even worse, you have to get on a tube full of smelly people, coughing all over you, giving you COVID, because no one's wearing a mask these days. So you get to work, then you work 40 hours a week, and then you have to do the same coming back. And when you're doing the same coming back, you know, you've got 40 hours a week, plus 45 minutes now there, 45 minutes back, that's an hour and a half. Call it 2 hours because you have to have breakfast. I guess you have to have breakfast any day, right? Let's just call it an hour and a half, 45 there, 45 back. That's an extra 10 and a half hours every week, right? So now you're working 50 hours a week, times that by four to get the monthly. You're spending 200 of those hours with work-related stuff. And then, obviously, you know, we have email on our phone these days, so you never quite switch off, do you? And so, you know, your boss says, oh, can you just do this at 8 p.m? And then you respond to it. Yeah, of course I will. And all these add up. That's not financial freedom. But what you want is you want monthly cash flow coming in that covers what your job covers. So if you're earning £2,000 a month after tax on your job, then you need assets that are also going to cover £2,000 a month on your job. Now, that's actually not enough money, by the way, I should say, because in property, if you're earning two grand a month, some idiot is not going to pay their rent, or a boiler's going to go, or as we've got a 15 grand refurb because the tenants absolutely trashed the place, one of the worst we've ever seen, in fact, we've got a refurb to do, and that's where a lot of our money's going right now. So you actually need more than £2,000 a month. And I was thinking about this just a few days ago. I was thinking about multiple streams of income versus a singular stream of income, and I was like, imagine having a job and then losing that job. And I was thinking about how difficult it is to go and find another job with your specific skill sets. Now, I actually found it really easy because I could go to an interview and I could talk shit in the interview and I'd get loads of jobs, right? And that used to be a hobby of mine, just going to see how much money I could earn. And we went from £16,000 to £100,000 in 4 years flat, which is something I'm very proud of, between the age of 26 and 30. So from 16 grand a year to 100 grand a year in 4 years flat. I used to just go after job after job after job, okay? But I'd still have to get up, get dressed, go to work, come home. And, you know, 200 hours a month are spent on that job. Now, this is the key. When you get financial freedom, so your expenses are, which is expenses? Expenses is this one. Your expenses are here and your job's here. And you usually spend all that on going out and nice meals and a nice car and a big screen TV and all the things because you hate your life so much to avoid the fact that you have to get up every morning and go to this goddamn job. But if this is your expenses and you can bring your cash flow every month, you can leave that job. And the second that you leave that job means that you've just freed up 200 hours a month. Now, as I said right at the start, that can get really boring, by the way. You're going to have to fill 200 hours. Are you going to fill 200 hours on your property journey? Because that's 50 hours a week. That's quite a lot. Probably not. Are you going to Netflix a bit? Yeah. Are you going to Xbox it? Yeah. Are you going to go to the beach? Yes. Are you going to do all these extra things because now you're financially free? Of course you bloody well are. And that's the whole point, goddammit. We're not put on this earth to get up, go to work, pay bills and then die. I firmly don't believe that. We might have to do that for a period of time because you've not invested in assets, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But if you're not investing in any assets, you're in trouble. Let's talk about assets then, shall we? I think we covered monthly cash flow. So the next thing you're going to need then for financial freedom is an asset. And why we talk about assets? So the definition of assets is an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. And I'm very happy with that definition. Your bank will disagree, your accountant will disagree, but what do they know? They have jobs. So this is one of the things that kind of winds me up about the Financial Times. You have all these financial experts. Oh, I'm a financial expert. If you're such an expert, why have you got a job writing for Financial Times then? What's that about? So don't listen to them. Find someone who's already done it, who's been there, already done it, and listen to what they're already saying. Don't listen to, like, Motley Fool. I used to log into Motley Fool. I used to take part on the forums. And do you know what? Every time I would comment, Dan, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a loser. That's what they'd say. Well, guess what, losers? Guess who retired faster than most other people did? Because actually, I wasn't wrong. But other people will tell you you're wrong. And the other people that are telling you you're wrong are people who have to go to work for a living. Do you see the difference? That's the difference right there. So let's talk about assets. Assets, something that puts money in your pocket. And every time I do that, I'm doing a signal putting money in your pocket. So a property is potentially an asset. A car can be potentially an asset. If you're an Uber driver, you're using your car. If you've got a luxury car, like a Lamborghini Countach, that is an asset. Although it doesn't put money in your pocket today, it will do because the secondhand car price is going up and up and up. And as people have accidents, there's less Lamborghini Countachs available, which makes yours more rarer. So it's going up all the time. And obviously right now, everything's going up, right? But especially luxury cars. But for me, an asset is something that gives you monthly cash flow. Okay. So Bitcoin doesn't give you monthly cash flow because it's like the golden goose. You have to kill the golden goose. So you might say, well, I've got £1 million in Bitcoin. Yeah, but to use that Bitcoin, you've got to sell some of it. That's not an asset for me. Where's the monthly cash flow? Gold is not an asset for me. It doesn't put monthly cash flow in my pocket. And it's that an asset puts monthly cash flow in your pocket. It came from Robert Kiyosaki on Rich Dad Poor Dad. That's the thing that really made me financially free. That understanding that an asset is something that puts money in my pocket on a cash flow basis. Because we've already covered cash flow. We already know that if you get 10 grand a month, you'll never, ever, ever have to work again. Unless something goes catastrophically wrong, you'll never have to work again. That's why we buy assets that generate cash flow, that put money in our pocket every single month. Might something go wrong? Of course it bloody well might. It's 2022. War with Russia was not on my bingo card. But then neither was a two-year COVID pandemic. That wasn't on my bingo card. And all those plans that we all had before all this shit went down over the last 3 years, well, all that changed. And so, you know, can that happen? Of course it can. Did we get lucky? Did we get lucky by not investing in commercial real estate? Because if we had have done, we'd have gone bust. There's no question that we would have gone bust. So can it go wrong? Of course it can. But for people who make it once, they're highly more likely to make it again and again and again, given enough motivation to get out of bed. So an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. Property for me, obviously. But then you've got other things like stocks and shares. You can put money into your pension. You've got ISA. You know, using Vanguard and all of that kind of thing, you can invest over a period of time, build up a war chest of money, like £1 million in your pension. You hit 55, you can draw down 25%, and then you can buy other stuff with that as well. So Steve's on LinkedIn. Hey, Steve, hope you're well. I love the concept of assets, especially having multiple scalable businesses. Entrepreneurship is fantastic, letting your money work for you. 100% agree on that. And for me, this is about having entrepreneurship generate cash from the business, and then that cash goes into buying assets like property or stocks and shares, so that it starts off really small. You know, if you buy £1,000 in shares, you make 60 quid, you know, 6% yield, £60 in dividends every year. It's not a huge amount. And you're like, oh, it's like, you know, £5 a month. It's just nothing, is it? But it's a latte a month from Starbucks, right? Or maybe two if you go for the smaller ones. Or other coffee shops are available. But it's that small beginnings can grow into much bigger things given enough time to allow this thing to actually happen. But it needs you to think about an asset is something that puts money in your pocket from a monthly basis. And if you can start buying into assets that gives you a monthly cash flow, then you'll do very well. But you'll only do very well once you've got a plan and a budget, right? So what do I mean by a plan? So a plan is, okay, I'm going to put £500 a month. Let's bring up a calculator. Let me go here. £500 a month. Let me stick it over here so I'm not looking on the other screen. £500 a month times 12 is £6,000 a year. Now, it's like, I can't afford £500 a month. That's fine. It's not a problem. Get a side hustle. Get promoted. I went from 16 to 100 grand in 4 years flat. Get better jobs. I've had job interviews in broom cupboards. I've had job interviews in the VIP lounge at Heathrow. I've had job interviews all over the goddamn place. Go out and find your worth, as Rocky said in that speech. Go out and get what you think you're worth. Anyway, 500 a month is 6 grand a year times another 10. It's only 60 grand, right? It doesn't sound like that much, but what you forget is for every 500 a month, you're accessing compound interest. And that can be the plan. It can be, okay, this is how much I need into a pot, £1 million. How do I get to £1 million? What does that look like? What's the easiest way of doing that? And for me, I didn't put £500 a month away into an ISA. I went straight into property. And so I actually was very asset-based straight away, and I was always cash-strapped because I always had more assets, you know, all the money that I had. When we never had money. And the reason we never had money, we'd do a deal where we'd buy a house and we'd sell it the next day, or we'd refinance it the next day, and we'd have 50 grand sat in the bank, and the next day it's gone. And we weren't buying Lamborghinis and Ferraris. We're buying more assets. We might have had a couple of expensive nights out. I do remember a £1,000 night out once, which was truly amazing. A night in Stringfellows, ordering champagne to the front table. I no idea what possessed us to do that. But anyway, we've done that, right? Don't do it. Total waste of money. Can't even remember the damn thing, right? Getting the limo back home. Don't even remember it. So just little flashes. You know, when you wake up the next day. Anyway, look, you need a plan. And the plan is how much money, we always put it into property, and we never had money because we'd keep on refinancing it, taking the money out, putting it into the next one, refinancing that, taking it out, putting it into the next one. And that would happen, of course, over a period of time. Sometimes we'd do it the next day because you could in those days through Mortgage Express, which then went bust, taking a lot of investors with it because they went bust because they didn't have the cash flow to cover the costs. But you need a plan. What is that plan going to be? And that plan should be written down. You need a plan written down. And if you've not, I went out of focus then, sorry about that. If you've not got your plan written down, it's not a plan, it's just a dream. A dream with timescales, I think is the saying. But I've spent so much time writing down goals and writing down the plan. And actually, one of the things I found really difficult, and I still find difficult today, is if I get the sheet of paper now and I go, okay, let's write down a plan. Like, it's shit, right? It's just not going to be very good. One of the biggest things that helped me get to that plan was going on courses. The Chris Howard courses where I did all my NLP stuff. That stuff, some of the Tony Robbins stuff. Chris Howard blows Tony Robbins out of the water, by the way. Big up, Chris. You know, that stuff where you're in a room, there's 1,000 people, the music comes on, the lights go down, and you're writing your dreams and you're writing your goals, and nothing is out of reach when you're in that mind. And your mindset shifts from where you are and where reality is and what you think is possible. And it shifts entirely over to this dreamlike state where your unconscious mind bubbles up and all your hopes and dreams just flood out onto the paper. The difference, if you've never done that, you need to go do that. The difference is phenomenal. I've done it with tears streaming down my face of what the potential is. And living in that dream state or moving into that dream state to write that down, then you come back to reality. You know, it's just a different state. And if you've never done that, I can't even stress it enough. If you've not done the Tony Robbins, go do the Tony Robbins. Go get your plan written down. Like, planning, how important is that, Dan, for you getting your results that you want in life? It's like 50% of it. Literally, like, if you move into that dream state and you get it written down and you moved emotionally, we use music and that kind of thing, and you moved emotionally, because being moved emotionally, it's called a significant emotional event, but it's sometime in the future. It's a memory that hasn't happened yet. And so because it's a memory, as real as a memory, the brain can't tell the difference between something vividly imagined and something vividly remembered. It thinks it's real, right? So it will move you to it. It's tension here. This is you in the future, causes tension between where you are now, and it pulls you to the goal. That's how goal setting works. None of that smart bullshit, which is fine if you live in the 1980s, but we're in 2022 now. This stuff, using the imagination to create those goals. What would it smell like? What would you hear? What would you see? What would you taste? What words would you say to yourself? What would other people say to you when you pull up in that Ferrari? Wow, Dan, you've really done it. Can't believe it. What would the Ferrari smell like? What does the sound of the exhaust going through the tunnel on Leeds Ring Road, what does that sound like? I had a Porsche 911 with the hood down. You put your foot down and amazing. And you put yourself in touch with how that feels. That's goal setting right there. None of this smart bullshit stuff, right? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic. What do you want realistic goals for? What do you want a realistic plan for? You know, the biggest compliment, one of the biggest compliments I ever had, you're such a great dancer. No, it wasn't that. It was, you live in a dream world. You're goddamn right I do. Back then, when I was 14, that's what I was told. My brother would tell you, just live in a dream world, you're a dreamer. You're right, motherfucker. That's why I now live in the Med next to the goddamn beach. All right, it's great today. But generally, we go paddle surfing, for crying out loud, Monday mornings. Like, is that not living in a dream state? Because I think it is. Anyway, that's a little Dan rant. Budget. Let's talk about budgeting next. It's fine having a plan. Part of a plan should include a budget. And it's fine having a plan. The problem with having a plan is there's no action taken. It's just a plan. It's written down on paper and nothing actually gets done. So you need to actually open up Excel, write down everything that you're spending every single month, all your direct debits go in there, then create a budget for your food, for your petrol, for your car, for your holidays, for your insurance, for your Netflix, for your Wi-Fi, for your gym membership. All of that goes in there, and then you total it all up and see how much you've got, and then you work out how much your income is, and usually for most people their income is less than all that added up. That's your budget. Now, cash flow forecast that, so do it for the next 12 months. Always be looking 12 months ahead. See what you can cut, see what you can increase in terms of income, and see where you're going to be in 12 months. That forms part of the plan. The budget has to form part of the plan. I guarantee, unless you've won the lottery, there are no millionaires that haven't been on a budget of some kind. And people think, no, being a millionaire means you don't have to budget, Dan. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. There are so many myths about what it takes to be financially free. And guess who writes those myths? The guys who work for the Financial Times and for Motley Fool, who have to have a job to pay their bloody expenses because they don't know what we're talking about, right? And I know that's controversial, but I don't really care. You've got to have a budget. Finally, there are going to be so many people who are desperate to tell you that you are wrong. That won't work. My mate did that. Oh, and he failed. Oh, you're trying to get... Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're trying to get out of your little box. Who do you think you are? I've heard it all, folks. Who do you think you are? I've heard it all. And it's bullshit. And do you know what the worst part of that is, really? Is that people listen to it. Like, and you go, yeah, I'm just a nobody. Who am I? Like, you know, emotionally, I don't know if you saw the shift there, but I had a whole bunch of emotion come up there. It's like, it's bullshit, and it really annoys me. And why are you surrounding yourself with people like that? You should be surrounding yourself with people who go, do you know what, Dan? Fucking love it, mate. What can I do to help? What can we do to get you there? What can I do? What resources do you need? Who can we use? Have you got a coach? Have you got a plan? Have you got a budget? Are you using time management? Here's a good book that I read that might help you. Like, where were those people in your goddamn life? And if you've not got those people in your goddamn life, then now is the time to get those people. People who are going to help you focus on the goal, not distract you. Should we watch EastEnders tonight? Fucking hell, man. What are you doing? One of the greatest things I ever heard was at an event. The guy on stage, he said, what you want to do is you want to put a towel on your TV, weigh it down with something so it doesn't fall off, and then get your vision board and get your pictures of your Ferrari and your house by the beach and all that stuff, and just staple them onto the towel, Okay, stay up and onto the towel. And then when you want to watch TV, move all your dreams to one side so you can watch EastEnders. And it blew me away. I was like, oh my gosh. All that stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, we still Netflix, you know, we love Battlestar Galactica and all the sci-fi stuff. And obviously we live in a Star Trek universe right now. There's so much Star Trek. I'm like a giddy little kid because I love it. I love all sci-fi stuff, right? But we're not sitting there for 4 hours a night. Actually, we have been over winter. It's a lockdown pandemic, right? But we're not sat there all the time watching that shit, moving all our dreams to one side. We've got time allocated for those dreams. We've got budgets allocated for those dreams. We've got an education budget. Every single month, £100 a month is our education budget that we allocate for education of some kind. That could be books. It could be training courses. And if a training course is £200, guess what? We don't buy one this month and we wait till next month. So we stack it up. So we've got a budget for it. Move all these dreams out of your way if that's what you want to watch EastEnders for, because that's what's going to happen. And then whilst on that evening, that might not have an effect over a period of time, 10, 20, 30 years, that's going to have a cumulative effect. And that's going to explain why you're here and other people are here. Or even worse, you're down here, normal people are there, and those people who succeed, they are persistent, they're consistent. We did this yesterday. This is what's going to get people to where they want to get to. But you've got to stay focused on the goal. You've got to surround yourself with positive thinking people as well. All right, hope that's useful. Went on far longer than I expected today. I'm going to go out this morning. I'm not going to do any work. We're going to take the rest of the day off, goddammit. We need a mental health day. We've been working so hard. We're going to go and feel good for change. All right, we'll speak to you soon. Hope you're well. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. My name's Dan Latter. Have a good one. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.